So let's open up the Gemaras to Daf Yud Amud Aleph. And we can turn back the Mishnah if you like, but I don't even think that's necessary. The Gemara wants to know, where's the source for a Bezdin of Shlosha Dayanim for Malkus? So if a person is being accused of a crime for which he'd be chayav 39 Malkus, the Mishnah establishes, according to the Tanakhama at least, that all you need is three judges. Minali, Mili, Omrav, Hunam, Akra. The Pasuk says, Ushvatum, which means that you need two judges, because Miut Shnayim is Miut Rabim is always Shnayim. Ein Osim Bezin Shaka, but it can't be an even number. Is there for Mosifin Aleim Od Dayan Harekan Shlosha? The Gemara now has a problem, because in that very same pasuk, which says Ushvatum in plural, which indicates two judges, it also says Vitzdiku Es Hatzadik, which is in the plural. And it says Virshiru es Arasha in the plural. So in describing the Dayanim three times, the Torah uses the Lashon Rabim to describe the activity of the Dayanim. So the Gemara says, Alameyata, if this be the case, that whatever it says in the plural, we mean two Dayanim, is let's add another two Dayanim for Vitzdiku, let's add another two Dayanim for Virshiru.
Why two? Why not three?
Because again, miut rabim is always shnayim. Whenever the Torah uses the word rabim, lashon rabim, we assume it's two, because yeah, otherwise the Torah. Well, no. What we're doing is we're adding two, two, and two is six, and then we're going to add a seventh to make it. That's it. That's not shuffle.
I'm sorry. I don't understand. If there was no other way of writing it, then I'd understand that we'd have to have two each time. But if this is the only way you can say the sentence.
Well, right. Yeah. It could be written in lashon. Yachid, ush vishafto.
Then you
not vishaftum.
And you'd have exactly the same question the other way around. You say it says it in the single, say it's one. And the fact that it says it a few times is because there's no other way of writing the sentence.
I don't follow what you mean. Again, the Torah could have written the sentence in Lashon Yachid. If we would have had one, two, and three, it would have been three Dayanu. And that would have been fine. Yeah, but you're telling me that from the fact that the Torah says it in Lashon Rabim and it didn't use Lashon Yachid, you're going to derive two. Let's be consistent that every time the Torah describes the Dayanim as two, we're going to have to add another two judges, two plus two plus two.
No, because it's talking about the Torah. Is there any other way the Torah could have written it?
It could have written it in the singular, not in the plural.
So then we'd have exactly the same question, but in the singular it says.
No, we wouldn't, because then it would have three times singular, which would mean three Dayanim. Does anybody want to volunteer? That's not going to be enough, because this door doesn't close unless you push it. You just give it a little bit of a push.
That's fine.
Excellent, thank you.
But then, can they use this pasuk for something else in Malkus?
That's what the Gemara is going to ask now. That you're telling me that we need this pasuk for defining how many judges we need on the court. Hence, you come up with the number seven and write 2, 2, 2 and plus another. The Gemara says no. We need the pasuk of Vitzdiku and Vershiu for Edom Zomim, which is the subject of our discussion tonight. Mm. So let's get on to our discussion. If you want to debate this, we can.
No.
That's only because
I'll come up with something else later.
Only because we have a major sugya here in Edom Zomim, which I want to discuss with you. So the Gemara says, "Ahumi boile lichidaula." This pasuk of Vitzdiku as Hatzadik and Vershiu as Harasha is going to teach us a brand new halacha, which Ula derives from this verse. The Omar Ula. Now, originally there's a formulation here of Ula which makes no sense, but we'll read it anyway, and then the Gemara corrects it. The Omar Ula Remez Liedim Zomina Tor Minayin. Where is this some sort of a hint to the parasha of Edim Zomimim in the Torah? So the Gemara immediately jumps. He said, Remez Liedim Zomimim. You're looking for a hint, an allusion to Edom Zomim. It says in the pasuk, "Vasisim lo kasher zomim lasus liachid."
It's explicit.
So it's explicit. Ella, let's rewrite the text of Ula. Remez li Edom Zom shalokim minayim, meaning in certain cases, certain scenarios where we cannot fulfill the vasisim lo kasher zomim, then we want to know if, as a substitute, we give them malchus. The Torah only says we have sisim lo kasher zomim. what happens in a case where we cannot fulfill the asisim lo kashizomam. And on that, the Torah is going to teach us with this explicit pasuk of itzdikus atzadik v'shiyus harasha that they get malchus. How do we see that in this pasuk? That again, in a scenario where we cannot fulfill kashizomam, then we will give the eidim malchus. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says that the judges will itzdikus atzadik, they will determine that the righteous person is righteous v'shiyus harasha. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Mishum ditzdikus atzadik v'shius harasha. Then the Torah says you give malchus v'ayim ben hakos harasha. In other words, the pasuk doesn't seem to make any sense, because in a case of a tzadik v'tzdikus atzadik, why would the Torah say that you implement malchus? Elo what v'shius harasha? Well, if he's a Rasha, you don't need the Eidim to be Marshius a Rasha. So where's a situation, a scenario, in which the Dayanim will play the following role? Through Eidim, through some process of evidence, they will be Matzdikas a Tzadik, they'll determine that the Tzadik is a Tzadik, and they'll determine that the Rasha is a Rasha, in such a way that now we can fulfill in Bin Hakos a Rasha, which means we can give Malchus. Says Ula Elo, what's the scenario that the Torah is addressing? Eidim sher shiras atzadik. There were two eidim that said that the tzadik is a rasha. Asu eidi achridi. Another pair of eidim came in, and they testified about the first pair of eidim being manu ayisem. Vitzdiku es atzadik to meikara. They determined. They brought evidence to clarify that that tzadik, who is really a tzadik, and now he's being accused of being a rasha, is really a tzadik. V'shavinu lahanach rishoyim. And now v'rishiyus harasha means that they made the first pair of eidim who falsely accused the tzaddik of being a rasha into rishoyim. What do we do in such a case? As a result of the fact that these second pair of eidim, the eidim azimim, came in and Bezdin accepted their testimony against the first pair of eidim and established that the first pair of eidim are zomimim. What do we do in such a case? V'haya im bin hakos harasha, we give them malchus.
So how do we answer the question?
In other words, the pasuk of itzdikus atzadik, the Gemara thought was superfluous. In Yiddish we say iberik. I don't know, is there such a word in Dutch at all? No.
Overbodig, it looks the same.
Yeah, it's similar. Okay. Right? So it means that it's a superfluous word, it's unnecessary, and therefore it's going to teach me two extra judges. Vershius HaRosh is also unnecessary. It's going to teach me another two judges. And for the Gemara, no, it's not unnecessary. We need Vitzikos HaTzadik V'Shiyos HaRasha for the parasha of Eidim Zomimim. And this is going to be the Eidim Zomimim in HaTorah Minayin, meaning in what situation? Where there's no possibility of giving Malchus, there's no possibility of fulfilling Kasha Zomam. What are we going to do instead? We're going to give Malchus. This Gemara of Ula, this Drasha, which is not the subject of tonight's Shia, the subject of next Shia is the next line in the Gemara, but is the subject of the first mission in Makkos. The Eidim testified against someone that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, which means that this Kohen is a Cholol, he's Pasul Lekuhuna, and then it turned out that they were Eidim Zomimim. In such a case, the Gemara derives from a Pasuk that we cannot make the Eidim into Chololim, even if they're Kohenim. So what do we do in such a case? What we do is we give them Malchus. And the Gemara says that's based on this drush of Ula. And Ula is telling us that when you cannot fulfill Kasha Zomam, in the case of Chalolim, the Torah excludes Kasha Zomam. So what do? We punish the Eidim with what? With Malchus. Frek the Gemara, asks the following Kasha, why does Ula need a pasuk for Malchus? We have a universal principle that if a person violates a law in the Torah, he gets Malchus. But typically, why doesn't he derive the chi of Malchus in Eidim Zomimim? Milosana, meaning the Torah says Losana Be'ach Eid Shaker, that's up there in the Aseres HaDibros. And any violation of a law in the Torah incurs the chi of Malchus. So if the Eidim here are not subject to the law of Kasha Zomam, like for example the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, then we give Malchus for violating the law of Losana Be'ach Eid Shaker. So Gemara answers, Mishum Dehavile Lav Shembo Maisa. The kol lav shembo maise in lokin alav. It means that in the case of Eidim Zomim, there was no action, there was only dibur, and Dibur is not considered like a Maisa. The Torah says that the paradigm for Malkus in a violation of Lav is Lo Sachsam Shor B'disho, and that's a case of a Maisa. A Lav Shem Bo Maisa Ain Lo Kenala. If you take a look for a moment at Tosus Dibur Maskel Mishum, it's the second Tosus on the page. Tosus points out that this Gemara seems to be against Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that even in the case of a Lav Shem Bo Maisa, you get Malkus. How do we square this Gemara? This is, I'm sorry, not the second Tosus on the page, but the third Tosus. Afil Rabbi Yehuda, the Isle Bechol Duchta Lokin Olav, that you get Malkus for a Lav Shem Bo Maisa. Nevertheless, Asi Hai Shinuya. The Gemara's answer here that we cannot derive Malkus from Losada is still appropriate. Because Rabbi Yehuda, what is the source for Rabbi Yehuda? How does Rabbi Yehuda prove or establish that you get Malkus even for a Lav Shem Bo Maisa? He proves it from Edim Zomim. So therefore the Gemara is right when the Gemara says that we cannot derive we cannot obviate or circumvent the need for this drasha for Malkus and Edim Zomim because it's a Lav Shem Bo Maisa. That's true even according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's only after we have this drasha of Ula, then Rabbi Yehuda establishes that you get Malkus for Lav Shem Bo Maisa. But before this drasha, if we didn't have this drasha, we would not know, based on logic, that you get Malkus for Lav Shem Bo Maisa. So Ilav Divahoya in Bin Hakos HaRosha, if not for this pasuk, we would have said in general, Lav Shem Bo Maisa ain't Lokanov. So logically, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Lav Shem Bo Maisa ain't Lokanov. Rabbi Yehuda derives from Edim Zomimim that since Edim Zomim get Malkus, even though it's what? A Lav Shem ain't Bo Maisa, so too, any violation of a Lav Shem Bo Maisa generates Malkus. That's the piece of Gemara that I wanted to learn with you together with this Tosus. The next sugya, which I think we touched upon in the past, is the sugya of Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael says that you need 23 judges in order to decide whether a person is gets Malkus or not. But we were going now according to the Tanakhama, and that's Rabbi Meir, and all you need is 3 judges, and we derive this from the Pasuk Ushfatu. What I'd like you to take a look at now is the page that I photocopied for you.
You just need a simple majority, and if you have 12 that says Malkus and 11 that says no, then he gets Malkus.
Well, again, 2 against 1, but you're saying according to Rabbi Shmuel, you mean? When you had you come up with the numbers 12 and 11, that's Rabbi Shmuel. That's only Rabbi Shmuel. I mean, I shouldn't have mentioned Rabbi Shmuel to confuse you. We're holding now the whole sugya that we learned tonight is according to Rabbi Meir, that all you need is 3 judges, which would mean all you need is a decision of 2 judges against 1. Now, the purpose of this essay that we're about to learn is to compare our sugya here in Masechta Sanhedrin to a parallel sugya in Masechta Ksubas on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara there establishes that Edim Zomimim will be punished, and what's unique about Edim Zomimim and their punishment is that they don't need a Hasra. Do you remember this? We touched on it many, many moons ago, that this is the only lav for which we give you a punishment even though you had no Hasra. And the Gemara works very hard.
It was an opinion, right? Because we know for sure about Hasata, but there was also this was like an opinion, or this is Lekuli Alma?
As far as I know, this is Lekuli Alma. But there's going to be a Machlokas. How do we derive that you don't need Hasra in any zone? That's going to be Machlokas, Rav and Abai, which we're going to study now. But everybody agrees that Edim Zom will be punished even in the absence of Hasra. So Omar Abaye, Edim Zomimim ain't Tzorech Hasra. Why is it that Edim Zomim don't need Hasra? So the Gemara says, to me ikamidi di inu bold katil below Hasra, vi inu boy Hasra. Habeinon v'asisim lo kashuzom lasos liochim v'leka. let's try to understand the Gemara. First we'll translate the Gemara on a simple level, and then we'll try to understand the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. The Pasuk says that we have to punish the Edim in the exact way that they wanted to mete out a punishment to the accused. We call them the Nidon in Hebrew. Now, when these Edim, the Edim Zomim, testified against the Nidon, did that Nidon ever get Asra? The entire story is a fabrication. There's no truth to it. And yet the Edom tried to have this person put to death without a Hasra. And the Torah says, Vasis Malkash Zoma. Mika Midi, is there such a thing? The Inu, these Edom, bow, they tried, Katil, to kill the Nidon, below Hasra. There was no Hasra here. In fact, he's not even guilty of any crime. The Inu, and now they, the Edom, boy Hasra, we can't punish them without Hasra. Habe Inon, we need to fulfill the asisim lo kashizomim lasos liyachiv velekav. If we require asra as a precondition for punishing the Edom, then we will not have a fair application of asisim lo kashizomim, because asisim lo kashizomim means we boomerang, we mirror image, so to speak, what they wanted to do to the Nidon, have the Nidon punished. Let's assume the Nidon is going to be put to death, and that accusation, so to speak, now has to turn against them. It boomerangs against them, if you follow me. And therefore, just like they would have put this person to death without Asra, he was never warned for anything, he was purely guiltless, so too the Edom Zomim should be put to death without Asra. To make a long story short, Abaye derives the exception and the exclusion of Asra and Edom Zomim from Vasisim Lo Kasha Zoma. And the Gemara now analyzes this. It means that according to Abaye, when we're dealing with the punishment for Edom Zomim under the law of Kasha Zomim, then we can punish them without Hasra, because that's the nature of Kasha Zomim. What would be in the case of Edom who testify and they perjure themselves, falsifying their testimony, but there's no Kasha Zomim? And again, who remembers the case where there is no Kasha Zomim? Ben Grusha ben Chalutza. Maskif lo Rav Sama b'Reid Rav Yirmiya Elamiata. According to your logic, Abaye, Ben Grusha ben Chalutza, in which case we derive from Ula's very complicated derivation that they get Balkis, the Lomi Kasha Zomim Komis Rabbi, they're not included in Kasha Zomim. We can't make them into Chalolim just as they wanted to do to the Nidon, but rather it's derived from a separate parasha of Vitzdikos HaTzadik V'Shias HaRosha in Ben Hakos HaRosha. Is in such a case Liboy Asra? Why? Because again, the rule of thumb is that you don't get Malkus or any other punishment in Bezin without Asra. The exception to the rule is Kasha Zoma. But if in the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, we're not applying the yardstick of Kasha Zoma, we're removing the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza case from the parasha Kasha Zoma, and we're generating Malkus because of Ahayim Ben Hakos HaRosh of Itzikos HaTzadik, then we go back to the general rule. What was the general rule for all punishments? We need what?
Kasher.
We need Asra. I lost you. Somewhere I lost you on the way. Again, the general rule is no punishment without Malkus. Clear?
Without Asra.
Without Asra. I'm also getting confused, right? Without Asra. So now, if there's no Malkus without Asra, the exception to the rule is Kasha Zomim, because the Torah says we're going to punish you without Asra. If, on the other hand, we're going to punish the Edom not because of Kasha Zomim, then it's going to fall back into the original the original general rule, which is namely what? No Malkus without Asra. Amar Kra, so the Gemara to defend Abaye invokes a pasuk, and that's called Mishpat Echad Yilachem. From this pasuk, we derive that as far as Edom Zomim is concerned, meaning whenever Edom falsify their testimony, Mishpat Hashavel Kulchem, we have to treat them in a uniform way, without any exception. It's kind of like a low plug which the Torah itself is instituting, that we don't make any distinctions. And the rule is going to be that once we apply the kasha zaman to remove the requirement of asra in the case of classic edim zomim, that even in the case of more complicated edim zomim, the exception to the rule where we're not going to apply kasha zomim, nevertheless mishpat echad yilachem mishpat hashava lekulchem. What it means is that since we established that these edim who testified against the Kohen that he's a Ben Grusha Chalutz have falsified it. How do we know we falsified their testimony? In any case of Avis, when I tell you that the Avis is a perjury, how do I know it's a perjury? Because of the Parsha of Azoma. Right? The Chiddush of the Parsha of Azoma is that, again, Edom are invincible. Comes the Torah and says, no, they are invincible. How? Through the mechanism of Imanu Ayisim of Hazama. Whenever we apply the principle of Hazama and we're going to punish the Edom, it's Mishpat Echad Yelachem, which means that the Edom Zomimim will be punished because even without what? Even without Asra. So again, you found a technical case where perhaps we should require Asra, but the Torah says Mishpat Echad to teach us that across the board. You don't require Asra. Excellent. Ad Kan. This is the sugya in Masechet Ksubos on Daf Lamed Gimel. So when you celebrate Lag BaOmer, please remember this sugya. Okay. Vehine. Now comes the Gvuras Yitzchak. Are you ready for this? Okay. Hine. Hach Mishpat Echad. This principle of Mishpat Echad, which is written in the Parasha Medim Zomimim, Yisodo, meaning its definition, its application, is Bechol Onshe Hazoma Shavim, that all cases where we punish the Edim Zomimim are all equal, whether it's we punish them because of Kasha Zomam, or we punish them because of its Tzidkos HaTzadik, it still comes down to Edim Zomimim. And when we're punishing Edim Zomimim, we have a uniform punishment, one size fits all, and that's called Mishpat Echad Yelachem. Umevuar. So based on this sugya, we have to derive a very important conclusion, and it's pretty sensational, that the Malkus, in the case of Ben Grusha, which is derived by Ula from the Pasuk Vitzdikos HaTzadik, Havi Midin HaZoma, it's included in the Parashah of Azoma. If it wasn't included in the Parashah of Azoma, then the principle of Mishpat Echad Yelachem, Mishpat Echad Shavakum, would not apply. So by definition, since these Edom who testified against the Kohen that he was a Ben Grusha were now subject to Azoma, then we're going to apply the principle of Mishpat Echad Yelachem and remove the requirement of Hasra because it's a case of Din Hasra. So it's an unbelievable chiddush here because what we're saying is that Vitzdikos HaTzadik V'Shias HaRosh, which is necessary to derive Malkus in the case of Ben Grusha Bechalutz, so where there's no Kasher Zomam, is basically putting the punishment of Malkus back into the Kasher Zomam. Again, it's technically not Kasher Zomam, but it's a case of Azoma. If it was another kind of Malkus, for example, a person ate Chazer, right? So we're not going to say we don't need Asra, we can punish the person with Malkus without Asra, because the Pasuk Mishpat Echad Yelachem, which alleviates the requirement of Asra, is anchored in the parasha of Kasha Zomam, or alternatively in the parasha of Hazoma. So whenever the punishment is a result of Hazoma, the parasha of Hazoma, then we're going to put it back into one single parasha, and we're going to remove the requirement of Hasra. There was another way of understanding this Gemara of Ula and his drasha, that lemeidim chiyuv malchus mikra delosane. When the Torah says in Ben Hakos HaRosh, in the case where there's no Kasha Zomam, what the Torah really means is he gets malchus for the lav of losana. Do the lav of losana and its chiyuv malchus has nothing to do with the parsha of Hazoma. That's like any lav in the Torah, like I mentioned before, if you eat chazet treif. So let's try to understand the Gvuras Yitzchak. The Gvuras Yitzchak is analyzing where do we classify, under what category, this case of Vilhoyim ben Hakos HaRosh, but it's Likos HaTzadik, ben Grusha b'chalutza, that he gets Malkus. If we're going to classify it under universal Malkus, which means for any violation of the lav, and in this case, which lav did they violate? lo sana b'riach et shaker, then it has no shaykhis, no relationship to the mishpat echad yilachem. The mishpat echad yilachem is when we have a punishment which is due to azama, and the eidim are called eidim zomimim, then we're going to apply the principle of mishpat echad yilachem, which means that all chayve, onshe, eidim zomimim are one and the same.
And we don't need a Torah.
But if we're going to say no, this pasuk is talking about malchus for the violation of the law. What the Torah is addressing is, what punishment do we have in store for someone who's an eid zomim, but he cannot be subject to kasha zomim in the case of eid grushim and chalutz? So what do we do with him? And the answer is, we're going to give him malchus for the violation of the law. Which law do they violate? Losana. Well, in that case, Losana belongs to the membership of all Chayvei Lavim.
Oh, but that's why you give him malchus.
All of which require Asrof.
You're not giving him malchus because he violated Losana Echeka. You're giving him malchus because he's an Edzoman that can't get the Kasher Zaman.
Alan, you're 100% correct, but the only way I know that is from this sugya. Mm. You're telling me the conclusion, I'm telling you the Havamina, so you're a step ahead of me. If not for your conclusion, which is well founded in the Gemara, I would have said the following, that the drush of Ula is coming to tell me that Adim Zomimim, who perjured themselves in a court of law, are no less guilty of a violation of the law than anyone who ate chaza or wore shatnez. He too has violated the law of Losana. He deserves malchus. If we could apply the principle of kasha zomim, that's what we would do. But in a case where kasha zomim is suspended, let's just put him back into the general patpori, the general category of chayvei lavim, which means that anybody who violates chayvei lavim would get malchus. The Gemara says, I don't even need vitzdikus at tzaddik. Let me just say he violated losana, right? Let's read the Gemara again. V'tepuklei, why do I need this complicated drasha of Ula? Let's just derive it from Losana. Losana is no different than any other Chiyuv Lav which generates Malchus. So why do I need this whole parasha of Hayyub Ben Hakos HaRosh, etc., etc.? And the answer is because I would have a Havamina that since Eidim Zomimim who perjure themselves have not done a Maisa, it's a Lav Shembo Maisa, I wouldn't give him Malchus. But at the end of the day, why do we give him Malchus? Because of the Lav of Losana. The Gemara only says that Losana would not in and of itself be able to generate malchus because of a technicality, technical foul. It's a lav shebo mice. But now that we have the parish of Himhoyu ben Akos HaRosh for the case of Eidim Zomimim, then let's postulate that the malchus is given to them for the violation of the lav. If that be the case, says the Gvuras Yitzchak, then we have to take a sugya and ksubas and cut it out. We have to just throw it in the rubbish bin. Why? Because the sugya and ksubas establishes, based on mishpat echad yilachem, that in the case of ben grushim and chalutza, the eidim will be punished with malchus, even in the absence of asra. Mm. And how do we know that? Because we put it into the whole category of what? Of eidim zomimim. And all cases of eidim zomimim alleviate the requirement of asra. That's the nature of eidim zomimim. So this case, although it's a little different because it's not exactly kasher zomim, but it still belongs to eidim zomim. So as Alan says very well, we're going to give them malchus because they're eidim zomim. Hence, we put them in the parasha, in the category of eidim zomim. Nafka mina that there's no asra. So the analysis here of the Gvuras Yitzchak is a fantastic analysis. He's asking, how do we understand this Gemara and the drush of Ula? Is the drush of Ula telling me A or B? Is it telling me A, that even though there's no kasha zomim, nevertheless it still belongs to the parasha of kasha zomim, meaning that it's still eidim zomimim? Or B, is this pasuk telling me that even though it's a lav shebo maisa, you're going to get malchus for the averis halav? And the nafka mina is going to be whether you require asra. If you're going to tell me that the Torah is putting it back into the parasha of kasha zomim, again, it's not literally kasha zomim, but it's eidim zomimim, then the punishment is going to be equal to that punishment of eidim zomimim, which Abai says in eidim zomimim, they want to mete out a punishment without asra, so they're going to get a punishment without asra, and we're going to throw in the case of ben grushim and chalutza based on this drush of ula, because in another case of eidim zomimim, we have a principle of mishpat echad yilachem. If, on the other hand, this pasuk is only being megal, it's only revealing to me that despite this chisara, that it's a lav shem of mice, and nevertheless it gets malchus, but ultimately at the end of the day the malchus is kusel osana, then it's like any lav in the Torah, which generates malchus, but only on the condition that was what? That there was asra. From the fact that Gemara Ksubis establishes that in the case of en gushim and chalutz, you don't need asra, because of mishpat echad yelachem, it means that we're talking about an onish of hazama. We're not talking about an onish for the violation of the lav losana, but rather an onish for hazama. And that's what he clearly states on the bottom of this paragraph, on the bottom of the right column. He says, "Aval ima yinu lemedim chiyuv malchus mikrod losana." And the Torah is telling me that you get malchus for violating losana. Havi malchus al lav losana kechol chayvei malchus. And there's no such thing as meeting out a punishment of malchus to a violator of any law in the Torah, unless there was asra. And therefore the hekesh of kibishpat echad would make no sense, because that mishpat echad is not applicable to any other lavim. I can give you 50 or 100 cases, scenarios of a violation of the law, and he's only going to get malchus if there was asra. We're not going to derive from Edim Zomimim that mishpat echad yilachem, and Edim Zom is not going to be a paradigm case to uniformly expand that din of not requiring asra to all cases of malchus and all violations of the law. It's only applicable within the strict, limited scope of Edim Zomimim, where the onus is for Edim Zomimim. So we're meeting out a punishment here for the Edim Zomimim. The other way of learning it, if not for the sugya, would have been to say that the drush of Ula is categorizing Losana as a lav sheh machayv malchus, as if we were a lav sheh bo maisa, and in that case we would require asra like we do for any violation of any lav that gets malchus. Lefizay tikshe, my parich ha-gemara v'tepik lemi losana. What was the Gemara's havamina here when it raised the objection, we don't need the drush of Ula. We don't need the drush of Ula. Why? Because these Edim violated Losana. They get malchus because of Losana. Well, I got news for you. We need this drasha. Because this drasha is putting the case of Engusha back into the pot of what? Of Edim Zomimim. If you were operating independent of Edim Zomimim, namely in the Pasha Losana, then we would require Hasra. Well, what does the Gemara mean here when it says typically you lose nothing by deriving the same identical conclusion from Losana Briachet Shaker? Well, I have news for you, you lose a lot. Because if you're going to derive the Chi of Malchus in the case of Ben Grushim and Chalutza from Losana Briachet Shaker, you're going to require, like we do in any lot, Hasra, Hatra. But now that we're saying no, that there's a drush of Itzikos HaTzadik which tells me that the Edim Zomimim are chayav because they're Edim Zomimim, in a case where we cannot apply Kasha Zomim literally and make it, it's Mishpat Echad for all Edim Zomimim. Therefore, we don't need a Hatra'ah. But to tell me typically Milosana, that doesn't make any sense. Does everybody feel, you know, you have to. What's the word? Empathize. You know, that's what I always say, that the most important word for my shiurim is empathy. You know, because if you don't empathize, then the whole shiur is worthless. Here you have to empathize.
It's a big enough commitment, because if you put him in the category of he becomes a kasher zom, in any case, you can already give him a thing without.
We only know that from the drush of Ula. If we didn't have the drush of Ula, we just stretch our arm out to the universal principle of love.
He needs hatar.
And in this case, Losana, then he would definitely need Atra'ah. It's only because we swallowed him up and brought him back into the membership club of Edim Zomimim, and the punishment is an Edim Zomimim punishment. Now we're going to give him the uniform punishment of Edim Zomimim, and we're going to drop any conditions like Hasra, which apply to universal Lavim, because this is the separate, unique parsha of Edim Zomimim. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So what's with Tepikli? Now let's analyze the Gemara's answer for a moment. The Gemara says that we could not derive Malchus in the case of Mangusha B'chalutza from the universal principle of Chayvei Lavin, because it's a Lav Shein Bo Mais. The Hikshu Atosvis, as we saw earlier, L'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita against the Chachamim is that lav shein b'maisa lo ken olav. So if that be the case, then we're back to square one. We don't understand why the need for Ula's drasha. The simple answer to the question of, I'm sorry, we don't have it, right. Well, just 1 second. Now we're back to the kasha of the Gemara. The Gemara is saying the taper clay. So you don't have the answer of lav shein b'maisa. So you're back to the kasha of the taper clay. Meaning, why do we need the drasha of Ula? He gets the Edom get Malkus because of what? Lo sanan. Ah, you'll tell me it's a lav shein b'maisa. Rabbi Yehuda holds lav shein b'maisa lo ken olav. V'tirtzu, the Tosfos gives the following answer. The Rabbi Yehuda, how does he know that in Kol Tarkui you get Malkus for a lav shein b'maisa? Edom zonim yolav. He learns of Edom zonim and he extrapolates from Edom zonim for Kol Tarkula. Meaning that Edom Zomim now become the paradigm case of a lav shein bo maisa, and the Torah says you get Malkus. And that's derived from its Dikos at Tzadik. As we said earlier, if you recall, logically Rabbi Yehuda would also agree that there's no Malkus on a lav shein bo maisa. Who says you get Malkus for a lav shein bo maisa? Malkus is meted out to someone who did a maisa. Mm-hmm. Here they didn't do a maisa. Talk, but talk is cheap. It's not a maisa. And the answer is that from this parasha of Ahoyah bin Hakol Sarasha, Rabbi Yehuda derives what you call a binyan av. It's a universal principle that you get Malkus on a lav shein bo maisa. If that be the case, we have an answer to the question of a taper clay. And that is that it's a lav shein bo maisa. At this point, we don't have the drush of Ulov. It's Dikos Atzadik. We don't know that you get Malkus for a lav shein bo maisa. Rabbi Yehuda only knows this after the drush of it's Dikos Atzadik.
But then he's got another problem. He wants to learn on Ainbo myself that you don't, then he's got a problem then
that you do get Malkus.
That you do get Malkus. And he's got a problem then you can learn the on the Torah Kula that you don't need Hasra. If you go, because that's what we also learn from Adam Zomim. So why are we learning only half the story from Adam Zomim?
You're asking the following, I'm just going to reiterate your question. If according to Rabbi Yehuda says Tosfos, we would not know that you get Malkus for a lav shein bo maisa without Vitzdikos HaTzadik, but now that we have Vitzdikos HaTzadik, Edom Zomim serves as the binyan av to teach me that you get Malkus even though it's a lav shein bo maisa. So why don't we use the same parash of Edom Zomim to teach me that you get Malkus without Asra? And there's only one answer, Alan, to your question, and I think that is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the parsha of Tzdikos HaTzadik is not an expansion of Edom Zomim, but rather it's an expansion of Malkus. Do you follow for Lavin? And then we're going to really be in deep trouble as far as Hasra is concerned, because then we're going to come to the conclusion that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Edom Zomim, at least in the case of Ben Gurion Mechalutz, are going to require Hasra. Does everybody follow that? Because again, logically, we would have come to the conclusion that in the case of Ben Gurion Mechalutza, you require Asra, because since there's no Kasher Zomim, we go back to the original assumption that you must have Asra. The exception to the rule was Edom Zomim, meaning if we could apply the principle of Mishpat Echad Yilech. So if Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that for every single lav in the Torah you need Asra, then in this case as well, you need Asra. What are you going to tell me? It's Edom Zomim. Well, it's Edom Zomim, and then you can't derive the conclusion that lav shein bo maisa malkinol. The only reason he's able to derive a conclusion in which this parasha of Ben Grusha and Chalutza reflects on violation of a lav, in this case a lav shein bo maisa, is because he classifies the chiyuv malkus in the case of Ben Grusha and Chalutza as losana. It's losana, and if it's losana and you're getting malkus, it means that a lav shein bo maisa generates malkus. He's not learning that it's subsumed under the category of Edom Zomim, because if that would be the case, it would have no proof about giving malkus for a lav shein bo maisa. The only reason he's able to derive conclusions and make equations and analogies from this case of Engrusha to all cases of malkus, of lavim, where you get malkus even though it's a lav shein bo maisa, is because he derived from this parasha that losana generates malkus, even though it's a lav shein bo maisa. But if that be the case, then you would require Asra in the case of Edom Zomim, wherever you don't apply the principle of Kasha Zoma. V'hinei l'Rabbi Yehuda d'yolef Edom Zom l'chol atarku d'lokin al lav shein bo maisa b'al korchenu d'sover da Malchus the Ben Grusha, lo avi midini azoma. If it would be midini azoma, then how would you derive conclusions about other lavim in the Torah, like Meimer, Makalel, and all the other cases, that you get Malchus even though it was a lav shein bo maisa? El alav diyed the sheker. I mean, the Torah is telling us that because he falsified his testimony, that's why he's going to be chay of Malchus under the parasha of Edim Zomim. But to say now that you're going to derive from this parasha of Edim Zomim and derive universal conclusions about a lav shein bo maisa in general, you have no right to do so. Ula di day, it comes out therefore according to Rabbi Yehud, the lo shayach be klola de hekesha de mishpar echad yelachem meyachad de lo avi meon shazama. And therefore v'ni boy hasra b'ben grusha kechol chavi lav di alma. Meaning, if Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he subsumes or categorizes this case of Ben Grusha under Lavim for the Lav of Losana, and he derives therefore conclusions by virtue of analogy to all other Lavim Shein Bo Maisa to get Malchus, then quite clearly he does not subsume the Chi of Malchus in the case of Ben Grusha under the separate Lav of Eid Zomen, but rather he concludes that it's not an Eid Zomen situation, it's a situation of a violation of the Lav. Hence, I can derive the conclusion about a lav shein bo maisa lokanol. If that be the case, then what gives you the right to apply the principle of mishpat echad yelachem, which only applies to Edim Zomimim, and to say that we're going to punish them with Malchus in the case of Ben Grusha, even without Asra? V'im kein, l'Rab Yehuda, shapir parech hagemara, Vitepukle Milosane. Now let's go back to Vitepukle. Right? The Gemara is saying the following, that we have a lav of Losane. The Edim violated Losane. Correct? And now we're going to derive from Losane. We're going to derive from Losana a chiyuv Malchus in the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So we don't need Vitzdikos Atzadik because it comes under the law of Losana. So what was Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer was that it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. So again, now that we're deriving from Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, then you get Malchus on a lav shein bo maisa, is therefore what? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Shapir, Parach HaGmar, the Tepukle, the Los Milosane. And what was the Gemara's answer? Right? So the Gemara's answer was it's a lav shein bo maisa. Okay, fine. So now the Torah is telling me that you get Malchus for lav shein bo maisa. Just 1 second. So now what's the problem with Asra? Oh, I'm sorry. So let's go. I'm sorry. I have a Gemara Sanhedrin open in front of me. So I'm looking at the Gemara Sanhedrin. Let's look at the Gemara in Ksubis. Correct? What does the Gemara in Ksubis say? Maskif lara sim asama, etc. El miyata ben grush vechalutza dilo Mikasha Zomam Komis Rabbi is Liboy Asra. We should require Asra because the Gemara understood that the reason why we give Malchus to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is because of the violation of the Lav of Losan, and therefore, like any other Lav, we should require Asra. And it's not a case of Kasha Zomam. Omar Kra Mishpat Echad Yilachem Mishpat Hashav Elakulchem. That from this pasuk we derive that even in the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, we'll punish them with Malchus without Hasra. That makes sense according to Chachamim, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who derives from this parasha Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza that you get Malchus for a lav shein bo maisa, obviously therefore he's getting Malchus for Losana. If that be the case, then when the Gemara says Liboy Asra, Enochinami, there is no answer to that question. Right? What are you going to tell me? That if I didn't have it, tzedikos hatzadik, and I only derived it from losane, then I would assume you need asra. So I need tzedikos hatzadik to tell me that you don't need asra. Well, that's not true according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda derives universal conclusions in Hilchus Lavim and Hilchus Malkios from this parasha ben Grusha ben Chalutza. So obviously he holds that this Malkus is Malkus from violating the Lav losane, and therefore you would require asra. So he efshal tarates the nelef milosane niboy asra. And had we derived the chi of Malkus from losane, we would derive asra, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if we derive the chi of Malkus from itzikos hatzadik, you need asra. Umasha enken ach of the alfina mi vitziku the loboy asra mitam hekesha de mishpar echad, and Rabbi Yehuda bal kofalo svirle hekesha de mishpar echad is miachin de loavi meyonish azorim came ben grushit sar chasra kama bukhala torah kula. So the only thing I don't understand here, there's one line here that I didn't exactly clarify for myself. In Kehler of Yehuda, what does it mean? Shapir parach ha-gemara v'tepukle milosan. Tosa says that the reason why the Gemara has that kasha Rabbi Yehuda is because Rabbi Yehuda still doesn't know that you get malchus for a lav shein bo maisa. And don't give me the answer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if we derived from losana, we would come to the conclusion that you require asra, because ein chinami, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we need, even if we derive the parasha of Malkus and Ben Grusha from the parasha of Tzedikos Hatzadik, we still would require asra. Why do we require asra? Because Tzedikos Hatzadik is only a gili milsa on losana, the Malkus for losana. And if that be the case, then we're talking about a lav like any other lav in the Torah that requires asra. Mm-hmm. So Ben Grusha needs asra like any other lav in Kol Torah Kula. So what does it mean, Shapir? Again, I'm trying to convince myself that I understand Shapir Parech Hagemara Vetepekle Milosane. Let's derive it from Losane. One second. Ah, now I understand. Oh, okay. Now I got it. Sorry. Took me a minute. Let's go back to the last three lines in the previous paragraph. Mm-hmm. He left us with a cliffhanger, with a question that was unanswered. Why? Because he just finished explaining that when the Gemara derives from the Tzedikos Hatzadik, that Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza gets Malkus, it's Bitoris HaZoma, so that we can include it under Mishpat Echad Yilachem, and therefore you don't require Asra. Is Lefize Tikshe, why did the Gemara ask the Kasha, V'tepekle Milosane? If we would have derived the Chi of Malkus and Ben Grusha from Losane, then we would require Asra. Correct? Because then the Machayev of Malkus is the classic universal Machayev of a violation of a lav, which always requires as a condition hasra. So what was the Gemara bothered by? In other words, the Gemara didn't have to give the answer of lav shein bo maisa. Forget about the answer of lav shein bo maisa. The whole kasha is not a kasha. Why? Because deriving conclusions for losana would not give you this radical conclusion, this revolution, that even in the case of Ben Grusha and Chalutza, despite the fact that we cannot apply kasha zomim, nevertheless we remove and omit the requirement of what? Of hasra. So that would have been a perfect answer to the Gemara. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then the Gemara wouldn't have that alternative answer and justify Vitzdikos HaTzadik based, right? That I'm sorry, the Gemara wouldn't have had the question of, say it one more time. We said that the Gemara has no leg to stand on, because Losan is not enough. Losan is going to tell me that you get Malkus only if there's Asra. We need Vitzdikos Hatzadik to place it back into the parasha of Hazama. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says, no, even after Mitzdikus HaTzadik. We're not going to put it back in the Parsha of Kasha Zomam. We're going to put it back into the universal Parsha of Chiyuv Malkus from violating a law. And you get Malkus even though it's a law of Shemo Maisa. Now, if that be the case, then we have to require Asra. So the Gemara couldn't have justified the Losana. I'm sorry. The Gemara couldn't have justified the Mitzdikus HaTzadik by saying that we don't require Asra, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, we do require Asra. And the Gemara now has to come up with some sort of alternative answer as to why we need Vitzdikos HaTzadik. Is that clear? Do you have it or not? Okay. There's a lot of mathematics here, but it's beautiful if you follow the mathematics.
Question, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it makes sense that the Gemara asks that question? Because he comes from the point.
But again, you'll appreciate this vignette only if you understand why it makes no sense, the Gemara's kasha, without Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Let's go back to pre-Rabbi Yehuda, so then you'll appreciate post-Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah.
If not for Rabbi Yehuda, we have a real headache here in this Gemara. Because the Gemara...
What we talked about here, that headache.
The Gemara, I'm talking about the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Why? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a problem of justifying the Vitzdikos HaTzadik. There's no problem at all. I need Vitzdikos HaTzadik to introduce this revolution that you don't need Asra. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, Vitzdikos HaTzadik is not telling me that you don't need Asra, because even after Vitzdikos HaTzadik, you need Asra. And why is that so? Because Rabbi Yehuda classified Vitzdikos HaTzadik as Chayvei Lavin. He didn't classify it as Onshei Hazama, but rather as Chayvei Lavin. If it's classified as Chayvei Lavin, then you need Asra. Before Rabbi Yehuda, I have a problem. What does Gemara mean, typically? What do you mean, typically? Typically wouldn't give me that very radical conclusion that in the case of En Grusha V'Chalutza, I dropped the ball, I dropped the requirement of Asra. I can only know that from Vitzdikos HaTzadik, because if I'm operating only with Losana, then I require Asra. But once I put it back into the category of Hazama, then the Vela, I understand that you don't need Asra. And that's Mishpat Echad Yelachem. So what's the Gemara hacking here typically? And in order to answer the Gemara typically, the Gemara was compelled to introduce Lav Shemo Maisa. But if on the other hand, that's the brilliant Chiddush of the Gemara Yitzchak, if you would apply, if you learn this sugya, again, I don't know technically if you could do such a thing, that's a different problem. But if you're just a free thinker, and you're willing to say that this sugya is reflecting the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, then the Gemara is very gishmak. The Gemara is saying that the only reason I need the Parsha of Tzikos HaTzadik is to teach me that a Lav Shebo Maisa gets Malkus. Because if I was only operating with Losan, and then Rabbi Yehuda logically would have said, you don't get Malkus for Losan, it's a Lav Shebo Maisa. And now I need some sort of paradigmic Tzad HaShoveh that's going to break new ground for all Lavim Shebo Maisa to get Malkus, and that's Vitzikus HaTzadik. But the Gemara was very justified in asking Vitapaklay, and the Gemara couldn't have answered, well, maybe the Vitzikos HaTzadik is telling me that you don't need Asra, because Rabbi Yehuda never could accept such a thing that you don't need Asra, because Rabbi Yehuda analyzed the parasha of Vitzikos HaTzadik under the rubric of Chayvei Lavin in universal terms. So then for sure, we require Asra.
In the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you don't need Asra.
Correct, but that's only after Vitzikos HaTzadik. Oh, what do you mean? No.
He does agree.
Why do you say that, Alan?
Even in the Ben Gush or Ben Chalitza?
You're going to require Asra, because again, the Torah is only telling me that it's Nikos HaTzadik and Ben Gush that don't pay attention to the fact that it's a Lav Shebo Maisa. Make it into a Lav Sheyeshbo Maisa, if that helps us mathematically, right? But as a Lav Sheyeshbo Maisa, we need Asra. So Rabbi Yehuda, bottom line, requires Asra. There's an unbelievable machlokas in between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda about the case of Ben Grusha B'Chalutza. Does that require Asra or not? The Chachamim hold on and apply the principle of Mishpat Echad Yelachem. Why? Because I'm placing Ben Grusha back into the general category of Edim Zomavim. And in Edim Zomavim, you don't need Asra. But Rabbi Yehuda never accepted that position that Vitzdikos HaTzadik puts Ben Grusha and Chalutza back into the parasha of Edim Zomim, because if he did so, he would not be able to derive the conclusion of Lav Shebo Maisa Lo Kenolo. Rabbi Yehuda, the foundation, the Evan Pinah, you say in English, the cornerstone of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that is that Edei Ben Grushim and Chalutz are going to get Malkus for violating the Lav Lo Sana. The Chiddush is a bombastic Chiddush that you get Malkus for a Lav Shem Bo Maisa. But he's analyzing Vitzikos at Tzadik from the perspective of the Lav and the Malkus for the violation of the Lav Lo Sana.
Then he's
going
to have a problem with the Gemara and Malkus, the Mishnah and Malkus.
What, the Mishnah says that you don't need Asra?
It doesn't address Asra, so you can assume that you don't need it.
That, this I don't know. I mean, maybe you know something that I don't know. And the mission just says that in the case of Megrushim and Chalutza, we don't make him into a Chalutza. Loket Arbaim, but it doesn't address the question whether you need Asra or you don't need Asra. Adarab, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what the Mishnah means in the case of Loket Arbaim is that he's chayav for violating Losana. And now we place it into the universal rules that apply to any violation of the law, and you need Asra. I don't know why that. Maybe Alan, you know something I don't know, but I don't have a problem with this. So this is really exciting that the Gemara Sanhedrin makes a lot of sense according to view. It's really cool over here. We have another 5 minutes, I think. Well, what's cool here is not the weather conditions. What's cool here is the fact that Tosis had a problem working out this sugya according to Rabbi Yehuda. And he had to come to the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda needs Vitzdikos HaTzadik, because logically, if not for Vitzdikos HaTzadik, we would assume you don't get Malkus on the Lav Shem Bo Maisa. But again, that was Tosis working overtime to try to reconcile this sugi with Rabbi Yehuda. The paradox is that the way that Gvuras Yitzchak is presenting it, this sugi works out only according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Oh.
Because conceptually, if you hold like the Chacham of Rabbi Yehuda, and we're talking about Hazama, then what do you mean take a claim milosana? What do you mean take a claim milosana? If it's take a claim milosana, then you're off on a tangent that you're going to require asra under the general category that every lav requires asra. It's tafka only according to Rabbi Yehuda that we can justify the shakamatari the gemara of a take a claim. Now at the end of this paragraph, he writes ayin tosis shans b'shita mekubetzes pavakam ayin dalet amid beis shekos of sham. L'Rabbi Yehuda ben Grusha, the lucky al edu sheker boy asra. No, don't blame me, says the Gvuras Yitzchak, for my conclusion that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need asra in the case of ben Grusha. That's explicit in the Tosas Shatz, who lived 1,000 years ago. V'hainu k'mo shekasavna, the Rabbi Yehuda lo svir le'hakesha the mishparecha me'achad the lo avi me'onish hazama. The onus here of Malkus and Ben Grusha is for the violation of the Lav Lo Sana. L'chem Ben Grusha Tzor Chasra. Come on, call Lavi HaTorah. Call HaTorah Kula. V'hine. Now I'm just going to read this until they bang for Baruch Hu, because this is an introduction to the next part of the Shia, which we'll have to pick up. By the way, next Wednesday.
You can take this with us?
Yeah, please. I'll give you. Oh, you have both sides, yeah. So that's good. So I don't know what your schedule is next Wednesday, but I'm with my children and grandchildren next Wednesday, so I think we'll pick it up at the end of August. When is the last Wednesday in August? Is that the 28th of August?
No, I just sent you an email the 21 and 28th. I'm not here.
You're not here. Are you here, Yonatan? Are you here, Binyamin?
I'll be here
the 28th of August.
Or the 28th.
No. So do me a favor. If you can write me an email that you'll be here, you write me an email that you're not going to be here. Alan, if you can give Yonatan my email address, or you can write it in his name, whichever is better. You know what? I think I would like to have your emails, just in case I want to initiate a conversation about when you're free and when I'm free.
So now you have my email.
So I have your email now. And Yonatan, if you can give me your email, if it's not too private. Some people are very private about their email addresses. Send me a message, because I have to determine what I'm going to do on Wednesday the 28th. So, Omer Eish Lakish, the Rabbi Yehuda Gomar me'edim zom, ma'edim zom lav shem bo ma'isa lokin olav kol lav shem bo ma'isa lokin olav. And the Gemara at the beginning of Marcus asks the following question: how can Rabbi Yehuda use edim zom as the paradigm case of lav shem bo ma'isa to get Malkus? Mal edim zom shekein ein tzrichin asra. Now, again, we're talking about a case of Edim Zomim, not the Ben Grusha case. In the classic Edim Zomim case, right, two Edim testified that Reuven owed Shimon $1,000 and then they became Zomimim. So in such a case, we give them Malkus, and even though it's a Lav Shem Bo Maisa. So Gemara says, but Eidim Zomimim is not a source for other cases of a Lav Shem Rabbais, because Eim Tzrichim Asra, the Torah is very machmir in the case of Eidim Zomimim, you can't derive conclusions. So then the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yehuda is going to derive his conclusion from Otsi Shema. Now, Mevur B'Gemara, it seems clear from the Gemara Makis, the Achler Rabbi Yehuda, Eidim Zomim Lo Tzarech Asra. Now this is against everything that we've been saying until now. We just concluded that Eidim Zomim need Asra. I was trying to say it's two different scenarios of Eidim Zomim. He's assuming that this is a scenario like Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and yet the Gemara assumes that you don't need Asra according to Rabbi Yehuda. He says, but if you're careful about it, take a look at Rashi. And Rashi says,
you do need Asra or not?
Again, the Gemara is assuming you don't need Asra, and that's against our whole thesis. We said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you definitely need Asra because Eidim Zomim, at least in the case of Ben Grusha, is going back into the parasha of Lo Tzarech.
Yeah.
So if you take a look in Rashi, Dima Maskel Eidim Zomim, and he writes, Kosa B'Ksuvis and Vesech B'Ksuvis, the Amrina in time of the Elu Naris, Nisri Bahu Emas, he quotes the Gemara in Elu Naris, when are we going to give the Asra? Rashi says, "I will call Sharon should be based in Shalmat and Tzrichim Asra." Hare Shehevi Rashi, the time of the Rav of Iksubis, the Omer Eim Zonim Ain't Zor Chasam Mishum the Lav Bnei Asronin. Okay, that's the sheet of Ruch Adonai Baruch.